and holds a Master's of Public Health and Social Work, and she'll be talking about where we stand with Farm Bill reauthorization. Helen, welcome.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Yay! I think that activity got us started on the right foot. So, as Linda mentioned, I'm Helen Dombalis with the National Farm to School Network. I'm the Policy and Strategic Partnerships Director based in Washington, D.C. At the time that I submitted this workshop proposal with this panel, I was with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. So a large chunk of my presentation is actually going to be focused on the work that I did as a staff member at the Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. The Farm to School Network is actually a member of NSAC, so I'm still very engaged in the Farm Bill process, but just want to kind of give that disclaimer. I also just want to mention that I have nothing to disclose. So just to give a quick introduction to who the National Farm to School Network is, we work at the intersection of health, of local and regional food systems, the environment, the economy, and equity. And when we talk about the Farm to School umbrella, there are four key components. So people hear Farm to School and they think Farm to School. So literally getting local products into the school cafeteria, which is definitely a part of it, local procurement. But Farm to School also includes school gardens, experiential education, so things like bringing a farmer to the classroom or taking kids out to a farm, really getting kids to experience their food system. And then food and agriculture curriculum, so that's, for example, integrating lessons about the food system into core competencies. So an example I like to give from a recent trip to Tucson, there was a fifth grade math class that was measuring the temperatures of the compost and then taking the averages of those temperatures to track it over time. So they're learning their math skills while they're out in the garden. So what we know about the farm to school programs is that when kids participate in farm to school programs, they see an increased consumption of fruits and vegetables. So it's a win for health, it's a win for kids. When they grow that carrot or when they've met the farmer that's grown the broccoli that's then in the school cafeteria, they're more willing to taste it, and then they're going to like it, and then they're going to keep eating those foods. So when we talk about farm to school, we say it's a win for kids, and then we also say it's a win for farmers, because when you're buying from your local community, the farmers, you have a shorter supply chain, and the farmer's able to keep a bigger share of that dollar. And then lastly, we say it's a win for communities, because kids take what they learn in the school back home to their families, and then as the farmers are able to keep a bigger share of the dollar, that money is recirculated and reinvested in the community. So I like to say Farm to School is a win for kids, farmers, and communities. So that's just a brief introduction to Farm to School, and now I'm going to talk about the Farm Bill. We already got from Linda a really wonderful overview of what's in the Farm Bill. You know, a lot of folks think about those big pieces, the nutrition programs and the commodity and crop insurance programs, but there is also a lot to it, as Linda explained. So we all know, particularly with what's happening in Washington right now, with a bit of political and fiscal challenge happening, that it takes time to get legislation passed. So the Farm Bill has certainly been no exception to that. It's been a long process. It's not quite over yet. And I would say that advocates and also members of Congress alike, policymakers, folks are getting a bit tired because it's been a long process, and I think that's where it really ties back to the point of this workshop today is partnerships. When you have partnerships, you can support one another, you can make sure that you keep each other going, you lean on one another, and can really share the workload as the legislative process draws out. So we're hoping later this year that we can officially say the reauthorization of the Farm Bill is done, and we can celebrate the victories. So what I'm going to talk about in the next few slides is kind of where things stand in terms of impacts on community health and what we're hoping by the end of this year we will really be able to say we achieved for community health. So the 2008 Farm Bill expired on October 1st of last year. So the bill was written over a five-year period. It expired, we kind of were in limbo land for the fall, and then over New Year's, Congress was working hard late into the night, and they passed an extension of the bill for 1 year. So that extension then expired about a month ago, a little over a month ago on October 1st. So we're back in that limbo land. But the good thing is that now the Senate and the House are what we call conferencing the bill. So for folks who might not be intimately familiar with the policy process, the Senate has their version of the new farm bill, the House has their version of the new farm bill, and so then they have to take those two versions and mesh them together, figure out, you know, what are the differences. For example, the House bill has a much larger cut to the SNAP program than does the Senate bill, so they're going to have to work through those differences. So that's where things stand right now, and the hope is that the farm bill, either on its own or as part of a larger budget package, can be completed by the end of this year. So Linda gave that great slide with the titles of the Farm Bill or the chapters of the Farm Bill. I just want to put this slide up because, again, this workshop is about partnerships, and I think it's nice to know that when you look at what's in the Farm Bill, you realize that for each of those chapters or each of those pieces, there are organizations and players that are involved. So you've got, of course, your commodity and crop insurance groups, anti-hunger and anti-poverty organizations, public health, sustainable agriculture, you know, all the things that you all stood up for a few minutes ago. Those are key players in the Farm Bill that really invest in each of those different kind of chapters of the Farm Bill. And of course, at the bottom, you all can be key players in writing legislation, calling members of Congress, and really helping advocate. So now I'm just going to talk about how some of those partners actually have worked together over the last few years on a specific piece of legislation that can really help advance community health. So the Local Farms, Food, and Jobs Act is a marker bill. So a marker bill is not a piece of legislation that ever gets voted on by Congress on its own. Rather, it's kind of a wish list bill. So what happens is advocates and members of Congress will come together and they'll, around a certain topic, agree that, hey, we would love in an ideal world to get all of these things. So they'll introduce that piece of legislation, and then as the Senate and the House are trying to actually write a farm bill, they can look at all of these different marker bills and pick bits and pieces. Oh, we like this from the local food bill. We like this from the beginning farmer bill. So it's kind of a wish list that you want the members of Congress to pick from. So because the farm bill debate has been going on for several years, this particular marker bill has been introduced twice now, as you can see on the slide, first in 2011 and then again earlier this year. In the House, the key champion is Congresswoman Pingree from Maine, and then in the Senate, it's Sherrod Brown from Ohio. So in terms of development of this bill, it's about 90 pages long of legislation. It's got about 40 different provisions, so different pieces of the larger farm bill covering 10 titles of the farm bill. So it's really comprehensive. And what happened, and this is that bottom piece of the slide, partnerships, the policy ideas were developed by a group of organizations. So Congresswoman Pingree actually brought together about 15 different organizations. The National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition was one of those, to sit in a room and literally go through the last Farm Bill, the 2008 Farm Bill, and say, hey, what could we do to push forward local farms, economies, really make some wins this time around? So those organizations worked together over many months to develop a list of what those ideas were to then eventually write the legislation. And from there, once those kind of ideas were developed and the policies were put into place, all of those organizations had been working together, so then they realized, hey, we all have different relationships with members of Congress that we can help to build champions for. So we knew that Pingree and Brown were on board, that they were supportive. But ultimately, when you're trying to advance policies in Washington or at the state or local level, you need a broad coalition of policymakers who are going to support it. So the Environmental Working Group is based in California. They've got a strong California contingency. So, for example, they did meetings with like over 20 members of Congress in California, and we were able to get a lot of other members of Congress from California to sign on. They call it co-sponsoring, where they say, hey, we like this legislation. We support this. So that's where that partnership, having come together from the very beginning to build the policy ideas, then helped when it came time to actually get more legislators to support it. And then, of course, because the Farm Bill debate's been going on for so long, we've had to adjust and readjust our strategy, and that's where having those partners, kind of being able to check in continuously to adjust, really works and is very successful. So I'll just talk briefly about a few provisions in that Local Farms, Food, and Jobs Act, LFFJA, that can support, we love acronyms in Washington, that can support community health. So the first is Farm to School. There are a couple of provisions in particular within that larger bill that work to really procure local product for school cafeterias. And for that, the key partners were the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition and then my current organization, the National Farm to School Network. The next was EBT, so that's electronic benefit transfer, and that's the actual card that's used. It just looks like a credit or debit card when you're swiping to make a transaction, a SNAP or food stamp purchase. So for that, the idea is let's make sure that the farmers markets and other kind of direct farmer to producer, farmer to consumer outlets have that technology so that they can accept SNAP purchases. So there, the partnerships were the Farmers Market Coalition, Fair Food Network that advocates for nutrition incentives. They work to make sure that farmers markets can really accept SNAP purchases and then get double value for those purchases. And then the last I'll mention is the Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program. There's currently a program that's just Farmers Market Promotion Program where farmers markets, CSAs, community supported agriculture, and other kind of direct marketing outlets can get funding to actually improve their marketing. So they can put up signs to let people know, hey, there's a new farmers market. And we've seen that be successful. But what we're seeing with the local food movement is that a lot of farmers don't necessarily have the time or the energy, or it's just not what they want to do to go to a market, for example, every Saturday. They want to be selling to a school or they want to be selling at a retail outlet. So the Local Farms, Food, and Jobs Act proposes expanding that program to go beyond just direct marketing to a broader local food system marketing. So the success there, the House bill has over doubled the funding for that program. So if we do get a new farm bill this year, the funding for that program will increase as the program expands. And for that, partners included the Farmers Market Coalition and then also the Wallace Center at Windrock International that's really cared about direct marketing of local food. So what we see through the Local Farms, Food, and Jobs Act is that there are provisions in our food and agriculture policy that can really help advance community health, that can really ensure healthy food access. You know, as we saw earlier, the Farm Bill determines who grows food in this country, what we grow, and how we grow it, and then eventually who has access to what food. So these provisions are an example of how to really address the access of low-income consumers to healthy and sustainable foods. And I will just say as I switch to this next slide, that's actually the reason I got involved in food and agriculture policy. I was working as a case manager just one-on-one with clients, and I realized, I learned that our food policy at the federal level literally impacts who has access to what. So now I'll just briefly mention some coalitions and networks that have been really successful for the Farm Bill. The Healthy Farms, Healthy People Coalition is really valuable in terms of research and informing policy. Some of you might have heard our workshop yesterday. Holly Calhoun is here representing Healthy Farms, Healthy People Coalition. And then, of course, the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, the Farm to School Network, and then Becca's organization, the Center for Livable Future, are all types of organizations that you all can get engaged with if you want to learn more about policy and how to actually, say, give input in terms of what ideas you want to see happen in the future and really how to better connect with your legislators. Lastly, I just want to mention the Child Nutrition Reauthorization. Although this talk is particularly focused on the Farm Bill, we can really use the partnerships that we've been developing for the Farm Bill over these last few years as we look towards the next Child Nutrition Reauthorization. So CNR is another massive piece of legislation with lots and lots of programs and provisions in it. It's really about child nutrition programs, of course, as the name implies, but other school meal programs as well. That bill expires in about a year and a half, September 30th of 2015. And partners are kind of starting to look at what's happened since the last child nutrition bill and what might we be able to do as partners together in the next go round. So this slide shows what's in that bill. So school lunch and school breakfast programs, the fresh fruit and vegetable program, which is really, really wonderful at actually getting kids eating fresh foods, fresh produce. and the Farm to School Grant Program, which I'll mention in a minute. So as you can see on this list, there are lots of opportunities. You might see something on here that you care about or you want to know more about. So just note that there are going to be opportunities coming up in the next couple of years to potentially shape some of what's in here and impact community health. And I will just finally mention that partnerships work, and we know this. The last child nutrition reauthorization in 2010, a group of organizations worked together, the National Farm to School Network, so my organization, the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, Community Food Security Coalition, and School Food Focus, to actually win $5 million in mandatory funding for a Farm to School grant program. So the One Tray logo that's on there, that was the icon that represented that group of partnerships, and because they worked together, they were able to get funding for this grant program. So it works. And with that, I will stop. That's my contact information. Just want to lastly draw your attention to the icon. My organization convenes every other year the National Farm to Cafeteria Conference. So it's Farm to School, Farm to Hospital, Farm to College, Farm to Prison. So lots of different ways to connect producers with institutions. There are some save the dates up here at the front and then also at the back, and we would love to see all of you there. Thank you.